Let's visit with the man who authored that call, the longtime voice of the Mountaineers. Tony Caridi joins us now. Good morning to you. How are you?
I'm well, John. Good morning to you. How are you, buddy?
Very good. Very good. It's going to be sort of Morgantown weather here today and cool tomorrow, but no rain tomorrow. But it has turned cool.
You know what? I was stunned this morning. We were like 30 degrees warmer than you were this
morning. Oh, my gosh.
And then I looked at it and I said, well, we're going into some cold here. It's going to get that way here this coming weekend. But we've been unseasonably warm this entire month. So we've been in the 70s. We were in the 70s yesterday, and I think we'll hit it again today. But
Wow. Obviously
that's all going to change quickly here.
Yeah, how about that? Well, 40s here for tomorrow, so be prepared for that. I know you will be. You guys flying to DFW, right, and coming in today sometime?
We're going to go, yeah. We're going to spend the night in Fort Worth, and then we'll make the drive down tomorrow. Since it's a night game, it's a little bit easier since you do have time and you're trying to find ways to waste time during the midweek game. So that's what they're going to do.
I got you. We'll be ready for you. I promised you some trick-or-treating candy, so it'll be there in your booth waiting for you, okay?
Now,
if you want to go out trick-or-treating in Touchdown Alley, that's available, but there'll be some in your booth waiting on you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Very good. I played a clip last segment from your coach's show with Neil Brown back in September when I texted you about Neil being from Boyle County High School and me being from Danville. It was fun to have that connection with him. But tell us about Neil Brown and his first year there at West Virginia.
Well, John, obviously when it comes to the wins and the success at this point, it hasn't happened yet. But to be quite honest with you, it's not a surprise. I think realistically we knew what we were getting ourselves into here with this transition. They're always difficult. He is, as far as what he is now and what he's going to do to this program, he is straight out of Central Casting. We could not have defined a better person to take over this football program. He crosses every single T and dots every single I. He's been a smash hit with the fans, with the students, with his players. There's just a lot of similarities, John, in what he's going through here in his first season, in what Coach Rule went through at Baylor. I mean, just incredible similarities. We're starting, some are not even calling it year one, some are calling it year zero to get this thing in. The reality is that we put all the chips in last year and loaded up to win the league and got real close. And all of those guys are gone. And as a result of that, we pretty much are starting from scratch. And as you well know, it can be a painful process on the build.
Yeah, and we went through that. And most schools do. You know, when you change coaches, there is that transition year or sometimes more than a year. So
sure.
Sort of, like you said, not unexpected with the coaching change going into this year.
No, not at all. It's exactly played out the way that we thought. We probably didn't help ourselves out too much schedule-wise. We had Missouri and North Carolina State as far as the two of the non-conference opponents. So we hit it right in the beginning. We were able to beat NC State, and then Missouri rolled us pretty good. And for the most part, John, Neil has said it last night on his talk show, that he felt, with the exception from the second half of Missouri where we just did not compete, that this team was improving every single week it had gone out since that point, up until the second half of the Oklahoma game, which was our most recent game going into the off week. He felt that we just, I don't want to say laid down, but we got down big and just did not respond well. Other than that, this team has shown signs of improvement. And just from a personnel standpoint, we're just not where we need to be. We don't have the depth that you need to compete at this level. As a result, you don't have the competition, internal competition, that you need in your position rooms to make everyone better. So it's going to be, as you said, it might be a year, 2 years. You guys went 7-6 after going 1-11. So you were able to take a nice jump there. And now, obviously, we know where you guys are. So, in a perfect way, that would kind of happen to this Mountaineer team as well.
How about with the extra time? We didn't play on Saturday. You guys didn't play on Saturday. So a little extra time between games. In what ways might that help your team?
I think both physically and mentally. Yeah. So physically, it came at a really good time. I know you don't want to go into a bye week off of a loss because it lingers, but I thought that where we were physically out of the Oklahoma game, we needed the additional time. And then mentally, I think as well, as I said, they did not compete in the second half. So the coaches have been able to, and what they've said, you know, the theme has been, okay, guys, we're going to hit the reset button here, and this is a five-game season. And so, you know, the theme is, the big theme on this whole program since Neil took over is trust the climb. Trust the climb is what they're preaching to everyone involved, fans, players. Just trust us in what we're going to do, because there are similarities to what he went through in his first season at Troy. You know, they had a losing season in his first year, and then they proceeded to win 31 games in his next three seasons. So they feel comfortable that they know exactly how this thing, you know, to put the pieces together. But I do think mentally it's helped this team this bye week, and I do think that, you know, as far as design, John, because we have offensively, we just struggle so much, they pretty much design new stuff, so to speak, each and every week, trying to get something to click, something to go. Otherwise, it's, you know, the definition of insanity. You just keep doing the same thing over and over, and it's not working. And, you know, the biggest weakness to this team has been the inability to consistently rush the football. Had it fixed for a couple of weeks, and now it's come back, and we have not been able to run the ball as well as you need to.
Defensively, some really good things this year. Tell us about the Stills boys from Fairmont.
Yeah, so we've got two brothers, Darius and Dante Stills, and they're both down linemen, and they literally did grow up about 20 minutes from Morgantown. Their dad was Gary Stills. If you've got some really, really diehard NFL fans, he played for the Kansas City Chiefs. He also played for West Virginia as one of our all-time sack leaders. So they've had really good seasons. We have another young man by the name of Josh Chandler, who's a linebacker, who's emerging, but he suffered a knee injury in the Oklahoma game, and he'll be out at least for the next couple of weeks. We lost Keith Washington, our starting corner against Oklahoma. He will be back. He was unable to play. So, John, we're in that point now where you're starting to see a sprinkle of true freshmen. In fact, we've had games here recently, the Iowa State game, for example. We were running four true freshmen at the two corners and the two safeties.
Wow.
And as you know, man, that you talk about Halloween being scary. That's hard to do. But we got a couple of these guys back. Washington is back. But you'll start to see more and more true freshmen because of the, as you know, the freshman eligibility rule. You've got four games to use these guys, and I think that we'll start to see some kids that have not played yet, but they feel that they've been able to get better as the season has gone on. They're going to start to pencil those guys in.
Final thought, Tony, your thoughts on the recent series here between Baylor and West Virginia. You guys pounded us pretty good. It was a Thursday night in Morgantown last year. 2017 was a two-point game, furious comeback by Baylor, but West Virginia won it, and then a three-point game 3 years ago. So except for last year, two really close games in recent history.
Yeah, you know, John, if I had to put a theme, this is West Virginia's eighth season in the league. If I had to put a theme on the Baylor-West Virginia series, it would be memorable. Mm-hmm. That would be the word, yeah, I would use to describe it. And I say that going all the way back to the first meeting back in 2012 when we saw 133 points scored, and it was whoever had the ball last was going to win, and West Virginia wins at 70-63. And then the next year, it's 73-42,
yeah.
41-27, 62-38. So, yeah, it's been very memorable. Last year, obviously, you know, Charlie Brewer throws three picks in eight attempts in Morgantown, and he's banged up, and he doesn't finish, and he ends up 1 of 8. I looked at his numbers last night. He's thrown three interceptions the entire season. Mm-hmm. So it was just one of those nights that I think is kind of more of an exception rather than the rule in this series.
Yeah, well, it should be fun. Looking forward to you guys being here tomorrow night. Travel safe, and thanks for your time this morning.
My pleasure, John. Good to be with you, buddy.
Thanks, bud.
Take
sure
care.
Appreciate it. Yeah, thanks. Tony Caridi, great voice of the West Virginia Mountaineers.